Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
I swear I'll never give in. I refuse.
Okay. And we also have our other co-host, Couture, on the line. What's going on, Couture?
Well, what have you heard?
What you got?
Nothing. I just... There's something.
I know.
What song was that, Greg?
That was the Best of You by the Foo Fighters.
Okay. There you go.
All right, well, can we get on with the show here?
Got stuff to do tonight, Ed?
No, you guys are boring me with your boring song talk here.
Sorry to bore you for that 20 seconds.
Yeah, it was heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get started with our topic, I guess we do have something we should discuss before. So I'll just basically say that lately I've actually been expecting to hear about a Flair dying. And actually, a Flair died today, but it was a different one than I was expecting. And I guess it's a shock when someone that young dies, but he did have some issues. So you guys thoughts on the death of Rick Reed Flair?
Go ahead, Craig.
Well, since this is the first I've heard of it.
This is the first you've heard of it?
Yeah, I've been out and around all day today, and I got home just in time to mow my lawn and get up here and do this show. I'm blown away, I'll be honest with you. That's crazy. Let me do some investigation. And Couture, why don't you talk for a bit?
I don't know what to say. I mean, God, it's a horrible thing. Reed's obviously had his health problems, especially the last few months or so. Even up this past Monday, and with blood clot and stuff like this, and I got on. I was checking my phone today, and I always check the news. I always go to the site and check the news first. And I saw that. I'm always expecting to see something bad for some reason. I never go to the site when the day starts. And so he's found dead in a hotel room. And, 24 years old.
Yeah. I actually got a text this morning with somebody telling me that he had passed away. So I went to the front page.
They didn't see the text that said Flair's dead, did they? At least said Reed Flair.
It said Reed Flair.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the text said Reed Flair. And so I went on the front page, and then I went on the board. Still hadn't seen anything on the board, so I wanted to ask to confirm on Facebook because, the person told me he's not the most reliable person. But he actually, you know, was telling me the truth. And, yeah, so it's kind of like I say, we all know, like, Rick Curtis, like, his health problems. I mean, he almost committed suicide not that long ago when he flew on an airplane with a blood clot. I mean, that's one of the
dumbest
things
I've ever
heard.
I mean,
yeah,
that's like
from Japan, that's like a 20-hour flight. That's like five times longer than you should be in the air with a blood clot. And he had his issues, and, you know, let's be honest, like, Rick Flair, he's been old for a long time, and he always looked the same, but the last year or so, he's really starting to look old. I mean, it's finally catching up to him, and, you know, like
I mean, everybody gets old. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's just because of, we've seen him so regularly the last few years, it's just kind of now just dawned on me, you know, God, he just looks old. It's always funny when people say, oh, God, this guy looks old. Well, like we don't realize that wrestlers age or something like that.
Yeah. Well, look around. He looked the same for so long. And, but like I say, I've been worried about his health and him dying, you know, I've been looking up and reading about Ric Flair, and then to have his, you know, he's already got the, you know, all the problems he has, and now he has to deal with the son dying. I mean, that's pretty screwed up. And, you know, not to jump the gun, but, I mean, he's had his issues with heroin not too long ago. Didn't that keep him out of bed? Didn't that keep him from being signed by the WWE?
There was 2 years ago, I know he's arrested. He had, like, black tar heroin on him or something, possession of that. I know they didn't send him to WWE. I think they thought he wasn't mature enough for it at the time. So I think they sent him to, like, maybe send him to Harley Race or somebody like that to get trained, and then send him to Japan. I've never actually seen him, like, in the ring or anything, so.
Yeah, I've never seen him wrestle either. I just, you know, hearing about him and so. And
I think the only thing I've seen maybe his debut match was like him and, I don't know, maybe it was he was teaming with David against, like, maybe it was the Nasty Boys and Hogan was a referee or something, I want to say. I vaguely remember that a few years ago. I think that's all I've seen.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, but I didn't really see it or anything. And the only really time everything I ever saw was when they might have showed him real quick on the Raw, like from Forever Tired.
Yeah, and before that, I mean, he was like, I know he was like on Nitro. I remember one night he took Eric Bischoff down, a couple leg takedown, and they were doing that angle with Rick and Eric Bischoff. Remember when they did the thing at the house when he was getting ready to fight Vader, and he was. You know, they were at the house, and David was there, and Reed was there. I don't know how old he was. Maybe about 6 or 7 years old or something like that. Maybe younger.
Yeah, he was really young on that one. I remember that now.
Yeah. Craig, have you found what you're looking for?
Yeah, I found it. Wow, that's unbelievable. That's his youngest son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think his son from his second wife, Beth. And yeah, David and I think who's the other one? Not Ashley, but I can't remember the other girl's name. The older one that's Dave's biological sister. Who left from his first marriage, and I think Reed and Ashley, who's in, she's in NXT, and I think that's from Beth, his second wife. So.
Yeah, anybody passed away at 25, that's crazy.
And it's got to be, you know, you know, growing up the son of, I mean, wrestling's fake and all that stuff, but he's like a major sports celebrity in that town, or in North Carolina for that sake, you know, like probably one of the biggest sports celebrities there, I'd say. And, you know, you attract a lot of people. You're going to have people want to be your friend because you're the son of Ric Flair, and it's probably easier to get your hands on stuff. You know, to go down that road and you're the son of a celebrity like that, which, I mean,
sure.
In the end, everybody, I always think that everybody's responsible for themselves. I don't really like blaming too much on other people because at the end of the day, you're responsible for what happens to you and things that you do. But, you know, it's the It's got to be tough, especially when you have that lifestyle like thrown in your face all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, people telling the flair stories, which, I mean, the truth be told, some of them, we laugh at them and say they're cool and stuff. Probably pretty bad stories.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough, man. That's heavy. I don't know how I missed that today, but I did. Yeah, that's too bad. I know he was a really, really good collegiate wrestler. I remember Rick having to miss some shows because he was going to his son's matches and whatnot.
Yeah, that's when Eric Bischoff sued him. Remember when he left for that time?
That's right. That's right. Yep, that's right.
They had the second generation Flair and Steamboat feud because I think he wrestled Richie Steamboat, who's also a amateur wrestler, like in high school or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't really. I don't think he was a collegiate wrestler, or he was good. He was like one of those prospects in high school, but I don't think
amateur
he was like
wrestling
or something in college.
Yeah, amateur wrestling is what I meant. You know, he was good.
Well, I know
Olympic
that, Greg, but I'm saying
around.
That he was more of a high school wrestler than a collegiate wrestler. Yeah.
I understand that, but I meant amateur style. I know he didn't go to college, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah. But, it's a sad story. I mean, it just kind of sucks we have to start with that today.
Yep, no good.
I guess we'll go ahead and move on to a more happier topic here. We'll maybe get back started to our 5 week topic we're on, and hopefully we'll be able to finish it off today. And forgot where we stopped at. So
we stopped at WrestleMania 20, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know, Craig.
So we need to do 21. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And I found 21 because they didn't put the Roman numerals on this one.
Well, they were thinking about you, Ed. They knew you.
Yeah.
They knew about you.
All right. We kick off our topic tonight. Of course, WrestleMania is next weekend. I know Ed's very excited, as a lot of people are that are going down there going over there for the show. And my best wishes to all of them that are traveling. Safe travels, my friends, and I'm going to sit this one out this year, but have no fear, I will be in New Orleans 2014. Which brings us to WrestleMania 21, April 3rd, 2005, in Los Angeles, California. It's at the Staples Center, and never doesn't give a live date on here, but obviously the Staples Center, not one of your big arenas.
Probably about 20,000,
I'd say. Yeah, probably 18 to 20 would be a good guesstimate. The first matchup was a battle royal. We had Booker T winning this battle royal, and that's all I'm going to say about
battle
that.
Battle royal with the T-shirts. I hate those.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
like you're wearing the letter or something like that. You know.
Yeah. The Raw and SmackDown T-shirts and such. Next up, we had Rey Mysterio. He pinned Eddie Guerrero in 12:39.
I remember this was a very good match.
Well, they always had good matches, but unfortunately, they had one of the best matches ever at Halloween Havoc. I think it was Halloween Havoc, and they'll never, ever be able to top that match again.
That might be the best, for that WCW Cruiserweight division, I think that's probably the best Cruiserweight match they ever had.
I think that's Rey Mysterio's best match he's ever had.
Yeah. And so when you got that one, it's like trying to do Steamboat and Savage again, 8 years later? No.
Yeah.
May not hold up. May not be as good.
But it was good, and all the buildup was good, and everything was great, and I'm guessing this was part of the custody battle storyline or around.
Well, they were tag team champions here. This was before the turn. They were the tag team champions here, and they were kind of doing this like little playful competitive stuff on SmackDown or something. And I just remember, but I think this was the match where Ray debuted the mask with the Velcro strap, and I think the mask went flying off his head or something in this match at one point. So, but yeah, this was the start of that, kind of the start of that program, because I think it was like a couple weeks later when they brought up Eminem and they beat him for the tag team titles, and then they did the turn there.
Okay. Great.
Moving on.
Oh, you want to get thoughts on the match?
I don't remember much of it, to be honest with you. Just being honest. I do remember this match, though. Edge beat Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Kane, and Shelton Benjamin in a Money in the Bank ladder match. Match went just over 15 minutes.
The first Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes, the very first one.
I remember this one. I remember one of the great spots was Shelton Benjamin just like, I think the ladders were like, one of the ladders was like leaning kind of diagonally, and he just ran up that son of a bitch and did the clothesline. It was awesome.
Yeah, Shelton always did something cool in the Money in the Bank matches. Too bad never really led to like him getting a real push or whatever. Because it was that spot, and it was also the one where he just appeared, like he just like Spider-Man from outside of the ring onto the ladder.
Yeah, it's like two guys are fighting on the ladder, and you just see the ladder. You don't see him. He just like, it's like out of nowhere. It's just like magic. He just pops up when he probably it was actually better this way because it was just like out of nowhere. He did a springboard onto the ladder and stuff like that. The only other thing I remember about this match is I thought Chris Benoit was really hurt in it because he stole the shit out of his arm in this match. So.
Was this also the match where Shelton Benjamin did the big, like, almost like a swanton dive to the outside off of a ladder?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, this set the bar pretty high for the ones to follow.
Yeah.
We had Hulk Hogan attacking Muhammad Hassan and Kosarovadari, because they had attacked Eugene.
This was awesome.
You know, I just realized Daivari was named after the Iron Sheik.
Yeah. Khosrow Vaziri and Khosrow Daivari.
Yeah.
This was the weekend that Hogan went into the Hall of Fame, and man, that place came apart when he came out. God.
Well, he was coming out to be a freaking Muslim terrorist, so I mean, I can understand why the people would get excited. And
we all still were Hulk Hogan, so they were going to do that regardless.
Yeah. But and then Eugene was always cool. I always liked Eugene. And this is when Daivari was small, and then, like, we saw him a few years ago, where he's about 50 pounds heavier, all muscle.
Did you guys see the video from that bus where he choked the dude out and threw him off the bus?
No.
Did you hear about this?
No.
There was somebody on a bus, and I don't know if he was drunk or just being an asshole or something, but he was just ranting and raving, maybe threatening somebody, and Daivari, he just got up, walked up behind him, put him in a chokehold and choked him out, and then threw him out the door of the bus.
Good for
him. Well, Daivari, for being a short dude, that dude is fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Well, on the juice, you can get jacked real easy there, Ed.
Remind me of that. Did you ever see the video of the angry old man that knocked the dude out of the bus?
Yeah, they beat up the young black dude who just beat his ass.
Yeah, the black dude was fucking with him. He just turned around and he just knocked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was actually fucking awesome.
I'm searching for the page, please. Bear with me just for a minute. We have The Undertaker pinning Randy Orton. 14-14 was the time on this one. The streak continues.
Yeah, I remember this was a good match. This was, I think, Orton got suspended 60 days the next day.
Smoking weed?
I think he's smoking dope like at the after party or something.
Yeah.
I think he was smoking dope at the building.
I think he was smoking
in the dressing room.
Yeah. In the bathroom, as I remember.
This is also the weekend that Rhino threw the flower a flower pot and got fired.
Oops.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Story?
Yeah. You did it at the hotel, right?
Yeah, he did it at that after party. Got in a fight with his wife or something and threw a potted plant.
Yeah. Well, see, that's one place they can't really fuck around is at that hotel, because they let a lot of people, like not just the wrestlers, but that's where they bring in all their special needs, like visitors. Like, you know, they always have so many Make-A-Wish and, you know, disabled, that, you know, people that they bring in, their families, and they stay at the same hotel. So that's the one place where they really, really don't want them to go crazy at.
Yeah.
So one got suspended for smoking pot. The other one got suspended for throwing a pot plant.
Well, there's no potted plant throwing thing in the wellness policy, so I guess they could just fire you flat out over that one.
I see. So smoking a plant is not okay, but throwing a plant against rules.
Well, smoking,
anyway.
At least you're hurting yourself. You're not going to injure somebody else.
Okay, duly noted. Seventh match on the show was the WWE Women's Champion Trish Stratus. She pinned Christy Hemme. A lot of hotness in this match.
Yeah, that was about 5 stars. Easily.
Yeah, done. Yeah.
I remember the great thing about this WrestleMania were the trailers, the movie trailers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember the movies?
Yeah, they did like... I think Steve
wasn't it her and Kurt Angle doing like
when Harry met
Sally?
The
movie, but they're basically like acting like they're having sex at the dinner table.
Yeah, and then the camera flashed over, and it was Mae Young, and she said, "I'll have what she's having."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are great.
They did. I know Steve Austin did like a gladiator thing. Triple H and Ric Flair did a Braveheart.
Was it like Flair on a horse or something?
No, Flair was on a... I think he was carrying... He had a mule or something. Triple H was on a horse. And remember, Batista was doing Taxi Driver. John Cena and JBL did A Few Good Men, which they replayed like
awesome.
2 weeks ago.
That was really awesome.
Booker T and Eddie Guerrero did Pulp Fiction. And Samuel Jackson and John Travolta. Maybe you're missing one here. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it posted on your YouTube channel.
That's real great.
Good stuff. We then had probably the best match of the show. Kurt Angle beat Shawn Michaels 27 minutes and 25 seconds via submission.
As far as wrestling matches go, I thought this was like one of the... I would put this maybe in my top five of WrestleMania matches.
Yeah, it was great, and one of the best things about this match, and I'm sure I'm driving people crazy posting the same WrestleMania video on my Facebook, but during this video clip, they show a real quick clip from the match, and basically, there's this awesome spot on the match where Shawn's down, and Kurt's standing over him talking shit to him, and Shawn just pops up with a super kick. That just hits him perfect, and he was so close to him because you don't expect him because he's so close to him. It's like he's too close to do it, and all of a sudden, boom! He just fucking does it. And every time I see it, I've seen it a couple hundred times, and it just makes me just shake my head, going, "Wow!"
Yeah, it's like he was kind of slapping around and browbeating him, and then Shawn kind of throws Kurt's hands, you know, up, and Kurt's throws his hands up, and then just lets a super kick go. Which was one of the best. It was actually one of the best super kicks I've ever seen until a few weeks later when he wrestled Shelton Benjamin.
To me, the best super kicks I've ever seen are like those two and the Chris Adams one where he turned on Kevin Von Erich.
And when he kicked the timekeeper in the face at WrestleMania against Bret Hart. It was like he murdered
him. Yeah, that was great too.
By the way, nobody's made a big deal out of this. Did you see Alberto Dorito? Alberto Del Rio.
That's racist.
Why you gotta be racist?
Offended.
Yep, that was.
Why you gotta be racist?
Man, I just had one of their tacos today. Anyway, Alberto Del Rio super kicked Jack Swagger when they were in the crowd. He kicked him so hard, and not anybody made note of it. go back and watch. He punted him in the side of the face, and it was absolutely brutal. He probably had a shoe print on the side of his face. It was awesome. Anyway, moving right along because we need to. Got a lot to cover tonight. We had a Piper Spit segment with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Carlito. I'm sure there was an apple spit, and I'm sure there was a stunner.
Yep. I just remember Carlito coming out and interrupting Piper Spit, just says, "Who the hell are you?"
That's fair. That's fair.
Because I'm the dude who you probably got stabbed when you worked my dad's territory.
He probably calls a ride. Piper probably calls a ride when he was working there. He and Flair had to escape the country with the belt or something.
Was that Puerto Rico or was that somewhere else?
What was the Jack Benino one? Was that the one that Piper was at?
Yeah, that's the one where Flair lost by accident, and then he went back to win the rematch, and then he still lost the rematch, but this time he actually grabbed the title and went home.
All I know is that Piper was sent there with him or something to, you know, in case something went down.
He interfered, and there were guards at ringside, and he had AK-47s being pointed at him. Because they were getting ready to shoot his ass for interfering, so Flair was supposed to win the match. He was supposed to win the freaking first one or something, but he just got scared that they would riot if they, like, reversed the decision or whatever, and he even refused to take the title. He was so freaked out about it. So they sent him and Piper, and Piper was the second. Piper interfered, so they're about to shoot him, and so Flair told the guy to pin him again. So he pinned him, but this time after the match, Flair grabbed the title, and then apparently they're supposed to be at the airport waiting to go, you know, get their plane, and they're sitting at the airport bar, and Flair's getting drunk on one seat, and on the other stool, Piper's got a mound of cocaine because they supposedly paid him in cocaine, and he basically got his face in and doing the Scarface gimmick. And, that was...
a horrible place to work.
Yeah. But I don't think it was Puerto Rico, but it was one of those little things like Puerto Rico. I think it was smaller than Puerto Rico.
Continue, Craig.
Well, then this happened. They came out. They took off the ropes. And then Aki Bono, the sumo wrestler from Japan, came out. And then the Big Show came out, disrobed, and then screamed, "Put it back on, put it back on." And Aki Bono and the Big Show wrestled to 1 minute and 2 seconds in a sumo match, and Aki Bono beat him.
I thought this was a diaper match.
This was no good.
This was horrible. I feel bad for Big Show having to go out there and look like this.
Talking about, this was great. This was so awesome. You had two fucking giant men in their freaking underwear trying to bounce off of each other. It was, you can't have some more entertainment than that.
It looked so absurd. God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was great.
Oh, man. Your standards are so low. Yeah, this sucked. We then had John Cena pinning John Bradshaw Layfield 11 minutes, 26 seconds, and won the WWE title.
Yep. Nothing really. These last two matches, they weren't nothing special.
No.
Being the big matches. I mean, there was nothing wrong with them. They weren't bad. Mm-hmm. They were just weren't much.
Well, you can't follow Shawn Michaels' Kurt Angle.
Well, that's true.
They should have put it second from the top. There's no reason why that shouldn't have been second from the top if you look at this card. There's no reason it should have went on, you know, sixth or seventh on the card. It's ridiculous. Then we had the main event, Batista pinned Triple H in 21 minutes. I can't believe those two went that long. 21 minutes, 34 seconds, and he won the world title.
This is
not a great match. There's, like, nothing wrong with it. I mean, it was a good match. Did what it was supposed to do. Batista won the title, just destroyed Triple H pretty much. So.
Yeah, it was kind of a nothing pay-per-view. By the way, if you're looking for WrestleMania DVDs right now, they had every single one of them at the Walmart, believe it or not, and they were all $9.96. You can actually pick up all 28 of them right now and got your collection. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I heard there's a bunch of weird edits on these.
Oh, that's no good.
Maybe you edited in some headshots and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay, well, I'll keep mine from the box set that I got a few years ago.
I got some that I can just put on DVD because I got all the original music and all that crap and don't got anything blurred out.
Yeah.
That bullshit.
Yeah. Nice. WrestleMania 22, big time. April 2nd, 2006.
Everyone shits on the theme song for this WrestleMania, but I actually thought it was badass. I liked it. I don't care
what I like.
Nice and retro. Nothing wrong with that.
Anytime you put an 80s song to wrestling, it's going to be good. I don't care what it is. Just like the first WrestleMania opened to Easy Lover by Phil Collins.
Easy Lover by Phil Collins.
And good times and awesome songs.
Easy Lover and the other guy, Phil Collins, and the other guy was Phil something or other, and he was the vocalist for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Trivia note for you. Yeah. All right, WrestleMania 22, big time, April 2nd, 2006, Chicago, Illinois. Again, small arena, 17,000.
The final small arena, I believe.
Yeah. This year, Visceral won the Battle Royal. And it included such names as Lance Cade, Simon Dean, Funaki, Sylvain Grenier, Joey Mercury, Trevor Murdoch, Johnny Nitro, Psychosis, Steven Richards, Gene Snitsky, Matt Stryker, yes, he used to be a wrestler, and Super Crazy, all in this one.
I think I fell asleep listening to those names.
Next up, we have the World Tag Team Champions, The Big Show and Kane, and they beat Chris Masters and Carlito when Kane pinned Carlito, the right man won.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly don't even have any memory of this match whatsoever.
I just remember the next night the Spear Squad beat them.
Yeah.
For the titles.
There you go. Next up, we had Rob Van Dam. He beat Shelton Benjamin, Fit Finlay, Ric Flair, Matt Hardy, and Bobby Lashley in this year's Money in the Bank ladder match. Only went about 12 minutes and some change, believe it or not.
Rob Van Dam getting the biggest push of his life until he got stupid and got caught smoking weed on the road.
That's right.
I think Flair took a superplex off the ladder on here, and he got stretchered out or something, or carried out.
He did something crazy. I just remember everybody was all worried about him when they announced that he was in this match of all matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of names in there that just don't look right, Fit Finlay being the other one. But, again, it's a Money in the Bank ladder match. It was good.
I was back when Hornswoggle was a little bastard.
Yeah.
Well, he's still kind of a little bit. Anyway. Next up, we had John Bradshaw Layfield. He pinned Chris Benoit, believe it or not.
How can you ignore the Hall of Fame index?
Because we're low on time and we got a lot to cover, Eddie. That's why.
We covered a lot of time on the last show. I'm not worried. You don't think the refrigerator deserves the respect that he deserves for all his stuff?
Bret Hart did not show up because he did not feel comfortable. Claire, go on.
Yeah, JBL pinned Chris Benoit at 9 minutes 44 seconds to win the U.S. title. Travesty of justice.
Fuck Benoit. He should have lost. Yeah.
True. Okay, I'm glad you guys have a lot to say. Okay, this one was epic. Edge pinned Mick Foley 14:37 to win in a hardcore match.
Yeah, this match was awesome. I remember the end was the table with the thumbtacks was lit on fire, and he speared Mick Foley through the ropes and then through the table, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Pretty sure it was.
The picture is gracing the OMG moments of all time on that DVD. This is where that's from. This was a awesome match.
Yeah, it was fucking great. That was probably one of Foley's last good matches. I mean, since then his matches have kind of sucked.
He had one match with Flair in TNA
Are you a last man standing match or something like that?
That was pretty close to this. But yeah, that was probably his last good match. Anyway, not to be outdone by Edge and Mick Foley, the Boogeyman beat Booker T and Charmel in a handicap match.
Oh, God, this almost made me puke. So bad for Booker T and loses this Joker.
I just remember that the Boogeyman made his debut in San Antonio.
Oh.
I love the Boogeyman. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. But the best part of this build-up was on, was Saturday night. Main event, or wait, not, what the fuck was the NBC show or whatever?
Third Night Main Event.
Yeah,
and Booker T is trying to act like he's hurt, like he can't wrestle because his knee's hurt, and he's screaming and yelling and selling it like his leg's about to fall off. And then the trainer walks out, and he just starts smiling and laughing with Charmel. And then, it was just so awesome how he just switched, his facial expressions and stuff. And then, it was kind of stupid, but I dubbed all the stuff of the Boogeyman and Booker T.
I thought Darth Maul would join the roster or something like that. I just remember the one spot where the music, like, Charmer will terrify this fucker. And she's like near the, like she's either at the broadcast desk or something, and the music goes off, and she's getting all scared, and all of a sudden, right behind the dasher boards, the Boogeyman pops up, and she looks back and has the greatest look on her face. Terrified look on her face. I think she took the worms, and then she came out with like a bait handler's outfit or something over her face so she wouldn't get the worm or something.
Yeah.
Next up, we probably have the last good women's match that we've had in WWE in quite a while. Mickie James pinned Trish Stratus in 8 minutes 48 seconds to win the WWE women's title.
This is still the part of the years where they actually still had good matches. It was about a good 3 or 4 years where Trish was like on top, where they were having good matches. And, you know, a last
I love the
storyline with
the stalker and stuff like that. Mickie James. I thought that was some good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was like her fan. And remember she kissed her that one time and Trish was all like, what the fuck?
I remember then Trish was getting back at her. And she had gone and slept with her boyfriend or something like that and gotten with her boyfriend. And so Trish's going to switch it around. So she's going to be the one acting all crazy. So she's got like a brunette wig on and stuff out there. And she's got her old boyfriend tied to a chair. And then Mickie James comes out and they're fighting over him. And then the guy just says, both you bitches are crazy. Get me out of here. No, just real.
And then time stood still because The Undertaker beat Mark Henry in 9 minutes and 26 seconds in a casket match.
Yep.
This was no good.
Now, casket matches in like 2005, it just seems so old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like back in the Yokozuna Kamala days.
Yeah.
And this is before Mark Henry knew how to work. Because it took Mark Henry like 12 freaking years to learn how to work.
Yeah, he wasn't the monster that you see destroying dudes right now. This was a different Mark Henry, unfortunately.
And it is so much different from the month before. He had an awesome match with Kurt Angle in like No Way Out the month before in a world title match. And it was one of his best matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was unfortunate. We then had Shawn Michaels pinned Vince McMahon in 1828 in a street fight. This was very entertaining for many reasons.
This was when Vince showed up with the tan after the Cannon incident.
Yeah, this was...
In fact, they're looking like a bronze statue praying with his family or something like that.
Yeah, Vince McMahon in street fights, number one, is smart, but the guy just knows how to work. And even though he's the owner, he knows how to work a street fight, and he gets everything he can out of him. Anyway,
this,
good match.
Vince McMahon is the greatest wrestling character of all time.
Can't argue with that. He's way up there.
I remember him going out on the stretcher at the end of this match, and he's bleeding, his blood's everywhere, and he's just so defiant. He's just sticking his middle finger up the whole ride in the stretcher the whole way back. It was so awesome.
Oh my!
Yeah,
then we had.
I wish he was still on TV and did more stuff. Now, I mean, he's so awesome.
Well, I don't want him to die, so I don't want him to do more stuff.
And then had Rey Mysterio. He beat Randy Orton and Kurt Angle in a triple threat match to win the world title. He pinned Orton.
Oh, this is that horrible storyline that Eddie bullshit.
Yeah. Didn't like that storyline, and not a lot of people did.
Isn't this also the one where all three of them were like losing left and right, fucking the weeks before WrestleMania?
Yeah, they were losing like to each other in one way or another, like the weeks going into this match. So you got like three losers in there.
Wish they could learn from their mistakes, but well, anyway. Next up was Perry Wilson. She pinned Candice Michelle in a quote unquote Playboy pillow fight match.
And I guess it's safe to say that this was 5 billion stars.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I was probably on the toilet or something. She's picking a sandwich.
You're speaking of sandwich in the toilet? That is disgusting.
Well, I mean, saves time. What can I say?
Then the main event, we had WWE Champion John Cena. He beat Triple H 22 minutes and 2 seconds via submission.
And who made their debut at the beginning of this match?
Some jerk-off named
CM Punk is one of the gangsters that came out with the guns. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah,
and CM Punk was one of the guys with the Tommy gun.
Okay, I remember now. Okay.
And
yeah, they're big. My God,
Hunter in his Conan outfit was just so absurd and awesome at the same time. He's rising up in this chair. He's got, you know, he's looking, trying to look like Conan the fucking Barbarian, and he's got his water bottle with him. I don't know how many water bottles Conan the Barbarian had in his lifetime, but,
well,
okay. He just looked so absurd, but he was so awesome.
Yeah, Conan's had a lot of interests like that, actually. But I guess we could say this is the start of the John Cena era, or pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This was right, the backlash was about to start, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, WrestleMania 23, quote-unquote, all grown up.
Why was Ric Flair in the opening match?
I don't know, I was going to get to that.
It wasn't the opening match, it was the dark match.
That's what I'm saying.
And look who he was tag teaming with. Okay, match number one was Ric Flair and Carlito. They beat Gregory Helms and Chavo Guerrero when Carlito pinned Helms.
Was this around the time that Flair cut that Carlito promo?
Yeah, that was. That was awesome.
That was one of the greatest things I ever seen in my life.
It was great because it was like real. It was true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what was great about it. And then he got saddled with this guy, and they were hoping Carlito would either get a rub from him or Ric Flair could show him the ropes. And, we all see where Ric Flair is now and where Carlito is now. So you tell me who came out for the better on that. You got a message there. Mr. Kennedy beat Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Edge, Randy Orton, Fit Finlay, CM Punk, and Booker T in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Yes, Mr. Kennedy.
The best part of this match was when Kennedy gave Hornswoggle. Well, for some reason, Hornswoggle was like halfway up the ladder. Well, he was up there with Kennedy, and he started slapping the shit out of Kennedy, and Kennedy put him on his shoulders and gave him that fucking, like, wonton fireman's carry thing that he does, and fucking just killed Hornswoggle. That was just awesome. But this is when Kennedy was actually had his little streak where he was actually doing pretty good. I mean, there's this match, and then he had the match where the Royal Rumble where he was more over than Batista. And then
I watched him on TV last night. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody want maybe even change the fucking channel as much as him. God,
yeah.
Horrible. If I hear him say freaking one more time, I'm like gonna vomit or something.
Yep, his shtick is getting old and it's boring.
He's like a male version of Roxy when Russo was booking TNA.
He got like X-Pac heat. I just don't want nothing to see him at all to go away.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll all get lucky and one day he'll rip his anus too and we can laugh at him.
Okay.
Well, you keep stiffing the... If you stiff the right guy, he wouldn't see him anymore. But,
he stiffed the wrong guy last time. That's why he got fired.
Exactly. I'm so glad. I must have bleached this from my memory. The Great Khali pinned Kane in 5 minutes and 31 seconds.
Yeah, this was a spot that was supposed to be Hogan and Khali, but I don't know if you remember, like a few weeks before, Hogan and Bubba on that fucking radio show and called up like, I can't remember if it was Vince McMahon's secretary or John Laurinaitis' secretary, because they gave him a list of people possibly going into the Hall of Fame. And so they called this poor woman up and had her on the air and talking about it, and she didn't know. And I think Vince McMahon flipped out over it and told Hogan to fuck off. He wasn't going to use him at WrestleMania this year.
I see.
Because this was supposed to, you would build up to the big slam spot, because it was in Detroit, you know, with the Hogan Andre thing. It was like 20 years later or something.
Gotcha. Goodness. Yeah, this was no good. I'm just guessing.
And Kane had a hook, and he was threatening Khali with his hook because his movie was about to come out.
Yeah, he used to drag that meat hook around.
Yep.
Anyway. All right, we had WWE U.S. Champion Chris Benoit. He pinned MVP. I remember this being pretty good.
I also know that this is the beginning of the end.
Well, there is that, too. Yep. MVP, I missed seeing that guy every week. I thought he was pretty darn good.
I haven't seen him, but he's been over Japan. Apparently he's gotten a lot better.
I'm sure.
I just never forget when he ran to the back with his ass on fire.
That's right. Yeah. And this match is probably the best match on the show, to be honest with you. The Undertaker pinned Batista 15:47. He won the world title.
In a regular match, too, with that.
Yeah. This was the time when Batista was really stinking up the place. I mean, he wasn't having good matches with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was, and I don't know what it was, but then, you know, the match with Undertaker. And, yeah, this was one of Undertaker's best matches, and definitely one of Batista's. So this was a great match.
Yeah, as I remember, Undertaker was kind of mad about his placing on the show. And as I remember, he just kind of pulled Batista aside and said, hey, let's show him who should have been the main event, basically.
And, in the end, I think they should have. They had a better matchup out.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Okay, next up we had, what in the heck was this? Rob Van Dam, Sabu, Tommy Dreamer, and Sandman beat Marcus Corvin, Elijah Burke, Kevin Thorne, and Matt Stryker in 6:25 when Van Dam pinned Stryker. Was this like new school versus old school ECW?
New breed versus the ECW originals.
Okay.
But it failed because the new breed didn't have Chris Champion.
Right. Marcus Corvin, what in the hell was his real name?
TNA. His TNA name.
When he did the pound.
Yeah, what was his name in TNA?
Who's that?
Marcus Corvin. No.
Walkie Von Four, the Count.
Yeah, but who was he in TNA?
Oh, Monty Brown.
Oh, Monty
yeah,
Brown.
Monty Brown.
Did the Pound.
Yeah.
He's pretty decent, I thought. I thought he was good.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, he had a lot of personality too. He just didn't let him do the pounce because there were too many other guys doing spears and shit in WWE.
Even though when he made his debut, he had the word pounce on his trunks.
Yeah, that's right. Unbelievable. Next up, we have Bobby Lashley with Donald Trump. He pinned Umaga, who was working for Vince McMahon at the time. It was a hair versus hair match. Where the second would get his head shaved. Of course, this is when Vince McMahon got his head shaved, and Steve Austin was a referee. This was compelling television for a little bit.
I just know that Donald Trump threw the greatest fucking ground and pound punches I ever seen in my life.
Is that right?
Have you seen a lot of ground and pound punches?
That was so funny, dude, him throwing those punches. And then, of course, Vince is selling them like he's getting killed.
I just saw
my favorite part.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, my favorite part, they were shaving Vince McMahon, and they were kind of losing the crowd. And Vince, getting his head shaved, he's like, you're humiliating me!
I'll never forget this.
Yeah,
well, when I first heard that stipulation, this is what they were going to do. I said, that's like brilliant. I mean, everybody wants to see a hair match between those two. I mean, somebody getting their head shaved. Somebody's going to get humiliated. So, you know. And this was at that time, it was the highest grossing WrestleMania of all time, wasn't it? The biggest one.
Yeah.
I think it still is.
It's
tall.
I mean, people can say what they want about Trump going in the Hall of Fame, but he was a big part of drawing all that. So.
Yeah.
And that guy's so famous, they should actually induct his hair one year and him the next.
They should have Ted DiBiase induct him.
That's not a bad idea either.
Just a big gimmick.
Gotcha. Next up is our buffer match. The WWE Women's Champion, Melina, and Ashley, a Lumber Jill match.
Oh, yeah, this is I showed my tits in a magazine, so it gets a big match at WrestleMania. This is around the time they were doing all this stuff.
You know, as much as I defend the Divas and all this, I will say that Ashley sucked, and Ashley was hot, but for some reason she decided to look like a skanky-ass whore and make herself look, like, unattractive compared to what she was. I mean, that was.
I did feel bad for her when they just threw her out in that battle roll and she broke her leg.
I felt bad for her when she was on Survivor and got voted off two episodes in. Oops. But in the main event, we had WWE Champion John Cena. He beat Shawn Michaels in 28 minutes and 20 seconds via submission. This was pretty good, but still not up to Undertaker Batista levels.
Yeah, it just wasn't. It wasn't a bad match, but I mean, it wasn't anything special. I thought the build up was great. You know, they built all the tweets for him hitting the super kick or when he's going to hit the super kick on John Cena or something like that.
Yeah.
And but the match was good. I can't say nothing bad about it. Just
They had a better match on the Monday Night Raw shortly after, right?
Yeah, the hour match from England.
Yeah, that match was phenomenal. That kept my interest the whole time, and I can't remember which Shawn Michaels DVD that's on, but it might actually be on the WrestleMania DVD. Anyway, that's pretty awesome. So check that out. Okay, WrestleMania 24. This one was in Orlando, Florida. It was called the biggest WrestleMania under the sun. It was in the biggest dive I've ever been in my life, the Citrus Bowl. Yes, where they play the Citrus Bowl. This place was...
A toilet bowl?
It was sucked. I mean, As far as arenas go, this is easily the worst one I've ever been in. It was actually in the hood. We parked in the hood in some guy's parking lot, in some guy's lawn, and I'm hoping it was the guy that we paid. I'm not 100% sure. But I've only been scared for my life a couple of times, and this one was up there. Anyway, in the obligatory battle royal to start off the show, Kane won the battle royal, and he got the shot at, it was the ECW champion later on in the show.
Chavo Guerrero, yeah.
That's right. We then had John Bradshaw Layfield. He pinned Fit Finlay in the pay-per-view opener in a Belfast brawl. And this was pretty good. They hit each other really hard.
Yeah.
I just remember when Hornswoggle, when Bradshaw was doing commentary one time, started throwing him Guinness.
We then had the Money in the Bank ladder match. CM Punk beat Shelton Benjamin, Carlito, Chris Jericho, Mr. Kennedy, John Morrison, and MVP. John Morrison did one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in life, where he had a probably a 4-foot step ladder and did basically a moonsault off the apron to the floor with the ladder, and he could have killed himself. Lots of plunder, lots of death, lots of killing.
Okay.
All right.
These Money in the Bank matches run all together at one point, so it's hard to remember some stuff.
This one I actually remember because I was there. So, yeah. Next up they had the, just because Ed wanted me to, the Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, you do it after you get the last three.
Well,
at least it's good to see Mae Young get a little respect from your friends.
Jack and Jerry Briscoe, the original Rock, Rocky Johnson, Peter Maivia, Gordon Solie, Mae Young, Eddie Graham, and Ric Flair.
Who wrote this thing? Rock Johnson.
Rocky Johnson? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
No, well, it's not, they didn't put Rocky Johnson, they put Rock Johnson.
It doesn't matter.
Maybe they forgot their Y. You're not going to say something about somebody forgetting a letter, are you?
I just did.
Yeah, you. Oh, jeez. Okay. Next up, Batista pinned Umaga. So they are hitting mean guy match, as Tim Flowers coined the phrase.
I remember.
All of Umaga's matches were awesome. I thought he was just so fantastic. If that's a shame of what happened to him.
I remember they messed up the finish on the powerbomb fight. That's about it.
That's right. Good. But nevertheless, it was a pretty good match. Okay, you don't agree. Okay, moving along. Kane pinned Chavo Guerrero in 9 seconds to win the ECW title.
And really, that's how all Chavo's matches should go, let's be honest.
Even now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. To know. Sure not a fan of Mr. Guerrero. Shawn Michaels pinned Ric Flair. This was Ric Flair's retirement or final match, or so we thought. 20 minutes, 23 seconds. This was pretty awesome. One of my favorite matches I've seen live. Shawn Michaels missed a acai moonsault to the outside and eighth table. The finish.
Landed as bad as possible.
Just
right in
completely
the stomach.
Laid out. Completely laid out, crashed and burned on the table.
The key moment to this match is if you just describe it to somebody, they would think it's the hokiest, stupidest, dumbest, goofiest fucking thing ever. But somehow it works, and somehow I'm sure every single person there probably had a slight tear in their eye when it happened.
I'm not going to lie, I was choked up a little bit. Shawn Michaels standing in the corner. Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels standing in the corner, Ric Flair challenging him to come at him again, and Shawn Michaels saying, "I'm sorry, and I love you." He laid in the super kick, and put the old guy out to pasture for about a month and a half.
Yep. Led to probably what I still think is like the best TV moment the next night during that Rick Flair thing.
Yeah, that was great. That was absolutely great. The retirement of Ric Flair. Flair was just a big crying sloppy mess, and that was good stuff.
Not even worth thinking about it today after what happened today. Gosh, you guys kids out there.
Yeah. Ugh. Yep. That
sucks. Yeah.
Next up, we have Beth Phoenix and Melina, who beat Ashley and Maria in a lumberjill match when Beth Phoenix pinned Maria.
And I remember Snoop Dogg was the smartest person on this show because he came out with a golf cart and didn't make that long walk.
It wasn't a mismatch, but one of my most famous spots ever in the Divas match was when Beth Phoenix was wrestling Melina, and she had her kind of like bow and arrowed or like Boston Crabs or something, and she grabbed Melina's own foot and started smashing her head in with her own foot.
Yeah, I remember that. Awesome.
This next match was WWE Champion Randy Orton. He beat John Cena and Triple H in a triple threat match. And the big story here was the lights overhead went out.
I think that was God telling everybody not to follow the Ric Flair match.
Yeah, there was some technical difficulties here on the show.
And it actually got worse at the end of the show.
Which actually happened two rows in front of me.
Really? The fireworks? They were in the open-air arena, and, they're in the, at least in a dome or something when they do the fireworks stuff, and I know some people got hurt because some fireworks, where they weren't supposed to, so.
It was basically a streamer, and it went from the top of the arena to the set, and actually the firework, the cable that the streamer went down actually broke, and so the firework actually dropped on people two rows in front of us.
Ed, you're going to be in New York, so you better be careful. Watch for them fireworks.
Luckily there'll be a lot of snow and rain to put out fireworks.
Oh, yeah, where are you, Long John?
I know, I think it's going to be like 40, 50 degrees that whole week.
Next up, we have a spectacle. Floyd Money Mayweather pinned the Big Show in an Anything Goes match.
This is like the greatest non-perfect performance ever.
Yeah. This was great.
He hit Big Show so hard in the face with his fist. He walloped him in the back with a chair. This was actually a thing of beauty.
Wasn't Big Show on his knees and he fucking punched him for real? Like, broke his nose?
Yeah, that was a month before at the No Way Out pay-per-view. Where he said, come on and hit me, and he just got on his knees, and he gave him a couple of shots, and then when he chased him off, his nose was busted, and he just spit out like a mouthful of blood. I got to give credit for taking one for the team right there. So.
Well, what's funny is the one that did all the damage was like, it was more of just a glancing punch, dude. He just kind of caught his nose just kind of perfect. It's not like he like connected to his face. It was like all nose. And yeah, he fucked him up on that.
I was expecting the worst of this, to be honest, but this was like one of the best things on this, maybe the second best thing on this show.
And one of the things that made it great, believe it or not, was Mayweather's second or manager or whoever the hell that was, because that dude wouldn't shut up and he was just funny as hell.
And I knew what the finish was going to be because one of his entourage had a chain with a brass knucks on it around his neck, so I said, okay, that's going to be the finish.
Sure.
Actually, they were worried about that, about how they were laying it out, and I think Triple H helped them lay the match out at the last minute, so.
The main event had Undertaker pinning Edge to win the the world title. This was a fine match.
The FL finish.
Yeah, I was going to say he got him in the umapata.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is wrong. Yes, The Undertaker submitted Edge to win the world title.
I think he went for, he hit him with the spear, but The Undertaker caught him right there.
Mm-hmm.
In the move, so.
Yeah, he caught him in the move, dropped to his back, and put the omoplata on him. And didn't, was this the match where the ref got bumped and Little Nate made that long run?
Yeah.
Little Nate set the world record for, like, the fastest sprint ever. Like, he fucking would have he would have fucking blew Usain Bolt away if it was a fucking in the Olympics.
Yeah. This was phenomenal because Vinny and I were actually in the second section over from the stage. And here comes Little Nate, and he was just a blue streak. Just, like, who, what, did? And he made some time coming down that ramp and jumped in there and made the pinfall. Yeah, this is awesome. Great match.
I just remember this is that few-year period where Edge was, like, the best thing on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Who the fuck is John Legend?
No, he's the guy that did America the Beautiful, and our guest MC, one Snoop Dogg, who came out in the Snoop DeVille, which was basically a golf cart on Fodies, or a Tony Fodes, and it was ridiculous, and I giggled at Snoop Dogg. Anyway, WrestleMania 25, the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. Home of one Matt Cleary in Houston, Texas. This was April 5th, 2009 at the Reliant Stadium. Drew 61,000 plus fans, and this was another good one, and I was in attendance for this as well, along with one Edward Laredo. We had a good time in Houston, Texas. The WWE Tag Team Champions Carlito and Primo beat Miz and John Morrison in a lumberjack match to win the World Tag Team titles when Primo pinned Morrison.
I think they unified the tag titles in this one. Because one was World Champions, another one was the WWE Tag Champions when they had both sets. And this was like a unification match.
I'll take your word for it. That sounds right.
Were the Bellas involved in this match somehow?
Who?
Who?
The Bellas.
The Bellas.
Didn't they go on a double date and, like, the Colons showed up or something?
They were with Miz and Morrison on this, weren't they?
And I think some hijinks happened at a restaurant, and the Colons were responsible for fucking their food or something. And Johnny Nitro said, look,
what I think happened was, like, I think the Bellas were, like, with Miz and Morrison, but one of the Bellas had a thing for one of the Colons.
Something like that.
Something like that. Anyway.
Good.
The only
great
thing the Miz has really been good at was when he was teaming with Don Morrison.
Well, come on now. And he has a job and John Morrison doesn't, by the way. Just saying. Next up, we had CM Punk. He beat Shelton Benjamin, Christian Finlay, Mark Henry, Kane, Kofi Kingston, and MVP to win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
I don't remember this match not being all that much, honestly.
I don't remember this match really at all. Just a CM Punk one.
Like,
they kept doing the same matches over and over again, and it's like each one got less and less impressive.
Yeah, this... anyway. Yeah, after a while, they all kind of blend together, like Katrina said. And this was another one.
I mean, they're all still, they're all pretty good. They're all very good, but you just can't go one from the other, hardly.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we had Kid Rock. He actually came out and performed. This is one of the coolest live performances I've ever been involved with. I ain't gonna lie. Kid Rock was awesome. And he ended up playing So Hot, the edited version, to bring out all the divas who were in a battle royal in the next match, which was won.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Who do you remember hogging up the time on the entrance the most?
Oh, it was Sunny.
Yep.
They brought Sunny Liddell back. I didn't even know we're back in this match because they just didn't.
Yeah, this was the gimmick was that they were bringing back some of the older divas, quote unquote older divas, and they were going to have a big battle royal. Names included the Bellas, Katie Lee Burchill, Layla, Alicia Fox, Jackie Gaeta.
Who was one of the ones they brought back.
Yeah, she's amazing. Hot. Joy, another one that's so hot. Jillian Hall, Molly Holly, Mickey James, Kelly Kelly, Gail Kim, Maria, Maurice. Why? Every time I see the word Maurice, the song, Is She Really Going Out With Him? Anyway, Michelle McCool, Melina, Rosa Mendez, Natalia, Beth Phoenix, Sunny, Tiffany, Eve Torres, Victoria, and Tori Wilson. Mae Young was the guest timekeeper, and the whole darn thing was won by, that's right, Santino Morella.
What was his gimmick?
Drag.
What was his sister's name?
Santino.
Santino Morella, that's right.
Yeah. Better disguise, not since Clark Kent, has anybody had Santino Morella in drag. This was fun.
It was even better than Virgilina from the early 90s.
No love for Candace Michelle, who was sitting next to me, keeping her from falling off her chair.
Although
Virgilina became a pretty big wrestler later in the decade as jazz.
Oh, you cracked me up. That reminds me, I watched just a little clip of the farmer's or the preacher's daughter last night.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
Yeah, this poor man, his daughter was trying to go out with this young man, and the man's, he said, what's the boy's name? And she goes, Demonique. And he says, Demonique, you've got demon right in his name. I laughed. Anyway.
I just watched the scene Nikita Koloff.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, next up. This,
and he's got
this
a hot daughter, even though she's only 16.
Oh, get your head. How very southern of you. Anyway, Chris Jericho beat Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, Ricky Steamboat in a handicap elimination match. He pinned Snuka at the 340 mark. 1 minute later, he pinned Piper. And in 853, he pinned Steamboat. And all he got for all his hard work was punched in the face by one Mickey Rourke.
The only good thing in this match was Steamboat wrestling.
Yeah.
And
they actually had a better match.
Steamboat at this show instead of all three of them.
Yeah, they had the better match the next month at that pay-per-view.
Actually, they had an awesome match the next night in a 10-man with Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was like the Ricky Steamboat show. I mean, I was there right.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some awesome seats for that show.
Yeah, this was good stuff. We had Matt Hardy pinning Jeff Hardy in 13-13 in a quote-unquote Extreme Rules match.
This is when he kicked his dog into the house.
It was actually a disappointment considering that it was down, but it was okay.
I've never been too hot on seeing these guys wrestle each other. It's never been very good.
No, it never has.
I don't think anybody really wants to see it, you know?
Not since Omega has it been very good.
Yeah.
And even then. Rey Mysterio pinned JBL in 21 seconds to win the IC title.
Wasn't that his retirement match or something?
This was JBL retired right after.
Yeah.
Remember, this is when Ray came out as the Joker because the new Batman was coming out.
Next up, we had The Undertaker. He pinned Shawn Michaels in 30 minutes and 41 seconds in one of the...
Decent match.
You know, that match did not seem like it was so good. It did not seem like it went 30 minutes.
No.
And, I was expecting this match to be great, but I didn't expect it to be that great. You know, it's kind of off the charts.
Yeah, it was 5 stars, no matter what the fuck that little midget Brian Alvarez made.
Yeah, it was a fine match.
Four and three quarters, my ass.
Nobody cares about nobody pays attention to Brian's star ratings. It's all about Dave's, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, Tanner David gave fucking 4 3/4 too.
I also remember I thought Undertaker died during this match. I mean, for real, not just like the Disney and stuff.
And that added to the match, it did not take a fucking quarter of a star away.
It looked like he took the biggest pile driver of all time when he dove over that over the ropes.
There were women screaming that because we were at this weird vantage point where we couldn't. I was sitting right next to Brian, and when he flew out of the ring, you couldn't see where he landed. So I remember seeing that happen, and like holding on to Brian, like, good Lord, what happened? And Brian was holding on to me too, and we're like watching the big screen. I think he's okay. I don't know. It's hard to. Anyway, yeah,
we had like the angle. We saw the whole thing because we were watching it from like the side, so he was in, the whole thing was in front of us. So it was still pretty scary, but I mean, it's like we could tell he was still alive.
A man at his age should not be doing things like that. It, you blame the cameraman, you can blame Shawn Michaels. That man shouldn't have jumped out of that ring.
One thing I did like is like the greatest count out spot tease of all time. Because, you think that the guy, like, you know, the both baby faces, so they want to win straight up, but not Shawn Michaels. He gets telling the referee to count this man out.
Mm-hmm.
Like an awesome count-out spot, you know, you don't really have big count-out spots like that, but you didn't think he was going to get back up. So.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen, like, any kind of thing like that since, like, the early 80s, you know what I mean, way back in the day, you know.
It kind of puts over how important it was for him to beat him. I mean, he even wants to beat, he don't even want to beat him, like, straight up, he just wants to beat him by count-out. So.
Yeah, fine match.
One of the greatest matches of everything, right?
One of the greats for WrestleMania. No doubt. Next up, we have John Cena. He beat Edge and The Big Show in a triple threat match to win the world title.
Okay.
And in the main event, Triple H pinned Randy Orton to. It was kind of no good, to be honest with you.
I'm sure if we go back to like a show, like two or three shows ago, we might find something, but this is going to be worst WWF main event ever. It's the only WrestleMania I've ever been to where after the match was over, I just sat there and looked at the jerk who was sitting next to me and was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
And the jerk was so visibly upset, I thought he was going to start crying the match was so bad. And I'm talking
this
about
was not planned out. The match order was not planned out very well here. It's hard to follow the Taker and Shawn.
It's like the big criticism. It's like it was a blood feud, and they locked up.
He came out by throwing a sledgehammer through a window. You know, that's kind of his entrance, or through a mirror.
You know, he killed Vince. He basically like was acting like he was gonna rape the guy's wife, and the other one went to the other guy's house and beat him up in front of his wife and threw him through a window, and they fucking locked up.
I still love the fight in the house. I don't care what anybody says.
It was great. And the fake
back there in the era when
awesome.
Randy Orton had different wives, like every four.
Three of them. Three different wives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could Hunter, who usually lays good matches out, or whoever the agent was, how could they fucking lock up, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Asking the wrong guy here. Yeah, this was.
I will say that the Hall of Fame inductions. I just remember that was awesome. Getting just so crazy for Steve Austin one last time. And the place
was
going fucking crazy when he came out in his ATV and went around the ring.
Yep. Good stuff. I think this was the Hall of Fame that I actually fell asleep at.
I don't know how. It was an awesome Hall of Fame.
Don't hate. Maybe it was the next one. I don't know. One of them I fell dead asleep.
The last one you went to.
Anyway, WrestleMania.
I thought Gorgeous George's widow was going to pass away during the introduction.
WrestleMania 26, March 28th, 2010, Glendale, Arizona.
Hold on, I just want to add one more thing to the Hall of Fame thing. I just remember how Frankie wanted to steal the show.
He went into business for himself.
Yeah, that was awful.
Would you do shit on the podium?
He started fucking just acting up while Coco was giving his speech, and kind of just like was like, it was almost like the bird was begging for attention.
Well, yeah. It was the new bird. It wasn't the real Frankie.
Frankie died in the fire.
Oh,
you're laughing at a bird who died in the fire. That's one of the most famous birds ever, Craig, and you're laughing at his dad's mind.
I was always that was always a weird thing. I just think that, you know, times got bad with Coco and he got hungry. That's what I think happened to Frankie.
I hope not.
It's just a rumor. All right, WrestleMania 26, as I said before. And we had Yoshitatsu. He won the battle royal.
Fucking Roman numerals.
Yeah, I just read that. Thank you. Anyway, he won the battle royal.
He won the battle royal because Antonio Inoki and a couple other high-ranking Japanese people were in the audience, and that's the last match I think he's ever won in the WWE.
Other names... just thrown out there. Vance Archer, Trent Beretta, Luke Gallows, Chad Gaspar, the Great Khali, of course, JTG, Mike Knox, Vladimir Kozlov, and Tyler Rex, and David Hart Smith. So, yeah.
You got to do some cocaine to enjoy that. Jesus.
Well.
Who's Grandmaster Jay?
Slammaster J?
Yeah, it's the Slammaster J.
Yeah. Yeah, who was that?
I know who Jammaster J was.
So Slammaster J.
Thank God, I gotta go look it up.
Anyway, moving right along. The WWE Unified Tag Team Champions, The Big Show and The Miz, The R-Truth and John Morrison, Chopin Morrison. Okay, moving right along, and this match was not supposed to do anything, but I remember the crowd popping huge for it. Randy Orton beat Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr. in the triple threat match. This is when Cody and Ted and Orton were feuding.
Slammaster J was Jesse and the Jesse and Festus tag team.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ray Gordy.
Yeah, Terry Gordy's son.
Yeah. Why the fuck did he have a record?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
I mean, now that you brought it up, I kind of remember, but I'm trying to think. I don't even know how
he
got that.
Maybe he was teaming with Crime Time or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. Next up, we had the Money in the Bank ladder match. Jack Swagger beat Shelton Benjamin, Evan Bourne, Christian, Matt Hardy, Kane, Kofi Kingston, Drew McIntyre, MVP, and Dolph Ziggler. This went 22 minutes and 43 seconds. Remember Evan Bourne doing something really stupid.
And I think 5 minutes of this was Jack Swagger trying to get the case off the thing, off the hook.
That's right.
Time stood still.
Didn't Evan do like a shooting star press from the ladder to the floor, and it looked pretty darn scary?
Was Rey Mysterio in this match?
No,
I don't know if he was even on this show.
I remember, maybe it was a different show, but I remember a match where there's a bunch of dudes. Evan Bourne goes to the top of the ladder. He does a shooting star press, and Rey Mysterio was holding the ladder so he wouldn't fucking die.
I don't know. Rey injured so much that I don't know what shows he is or isn't on anymore. So
he was wrestling CM Punk in the.
Oh yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Evan Bourne returned to action last night at NXT against El Generico.
That's right.
Who's really now El Generico.
Yeah, he's really generic now. Triple H pinned Sheamus in 12 minutes and 8 seconds.
Speaking of Evan, I actually was chatting with his old roommate today, and I'm very stoked for his match with Carl Anderson next Friday at Ring of Honor. That's going to be awesome.
Hmm. We then had the aforementioned Rey Mysterio Jr. He pinned CM Punk in 7 minutes and 28 seconds.
The best thing about their feud was fucking when CM Punk sang happy birthday to his daughter.
It happened in Tacoma, Washington, and I was there live. Or Seattle, Washington, excuse me. That was good stuff.
This is back when Punk was looking all gross and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was getting a little flabby, a little greasy. Yeah.
I thought he was still
good. And then time stood still because Bret Hart beat Vince McMahon in 11 minutes and 7 seconds in a no-rules lumberjack match with Bruce Hart, the worst interview I've ever heard in all my life. He was the referee for this, and the Hart members were there. This match sucked. This was no good. This was the worst thing I've ever
been so awesome, and it sucked so bad. And, I don't know what to say about this match. It's just, I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, it was a great build, and then it was like you got one of those gigantic fountains for 4th of July. The thing is, like, 12 inches tall, and it's as big around as a truck tire, and you light it off, and a firecracker went. Anyway.
Well,
then the show. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Vince kind of booked himself to become the babyface by the end of this. But,
I remember was they did the Hard Dynasty, did their little hard tech thing on the outside on Vince, and it looked like he took a bad fall. That's the biggest spot in this match.
So no good. We then had the world champion Chris Jericho. He pinned Edge in 15:46. Hard for these two
guys.
Then, of course, we had the women's buffer match. Michelle McCool, Layla, Vicky Guerrero, Maryse, and Alicia Fox beat Mickie James, Beth Phoenix, Gail Kim, Kelly Kelly, and Eve Torres in 3 minutes and 21 seconds when Guerrero pinned Kelly.
I think this is when she went to the top rope, and I thought she was going to kill herself.
I think they wanted her to do a frog splash.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't happening.
We then had John Cena beating Batista, 13:38, via submission to win the WWE title. I'm sensing a trend here. John Cena winning world title.
Yeah, and John Cena had a horrible entrance, dude. That was so boring, dude. I was like, I know Vinny got upset because people were booing the army or whatever, but the thing took so damn long, I wanted to boo him too.
I can't argue. And then the main event, they got it right this year. Undertaker pinned Shawn Michaels, 23:59. This was another work of art and a thing of beauty.
Yeah,
I don't think it was as good as the first match, but it was. It was still an awesome match.
Well, they had broken down so much in a year. I mean, physically, they're not even close to what they were the year before. Either way.
I just love the finish where Taker's telling him to stay down, and then Shawn just does like the slash across the throat and then slaps the shit out of the Undertaker, and then he picks him up in the tombstone and gives him like the flying tombstone.
Yeah. He jumped way up high in the air and pulled his knees in the process, I'm sure, and pinned him 1, 2, 3, and that was the end of Shawn Michaels. We haven't seen him since. Stayed true to his word.
Another thing about this WrestleMania is just hours before WrestleMania, we were being served hot dogs and onion rings by Armando Estrada.
That was pretty awesome. That was pretty awesome. I don't think he's in the restaurant business anymore, but he made a heck of a cheese steak.
I just remember, have you met my friend Brian Alvarez? Forget Brian Alvarez. He was talking to two guys in the drunk cast and you're all about, have you met Brian Alvarez?
Well, he wanted to know if he, you know, he was talking to somebody that some people might know or something. So I didn't bring you up.
Whatever. But yeah, the food was fantastic. I had a cheesesteak and a hot dog, and they were both great.
That's right.
The food was great.
Yeah. Not to be outdone by the drink. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was like a...
It was like a fun lemonade. Yeah. They were like, they had a mango lemonade, and something else.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was just fantastic food.
Yeah.
And Armando, they're serving tables and smiling. It's pretty surreal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it was like a line out that door, too. That was probably the busiest thing he ever had.
Yeah. Next up. Oh, by the way, this is when things started to get weird with Brian Alvarez and his minions from across the world.
No, that kid. Was that same one. That was the one in Arizona, because that's the one where that one little weirdo was just, like, creeping everybody out.
Yeah, this kid, we met him there, and he was... You ever see the big bad bulldog, and he's, you know, he's marching down the street, and then there's a little puppy, and he's like, hey, Spike, I know where this bone is, Spike. Hey, Spike, can I show you where the bone is? Okay, this was happening in real life in front of me. Hey, Brian. And so this kid was from Arizona, and he whips in front of my car, my rental, and he goes, hey, can I follow you guys? And I said, you live here. How about I follow you? And he goes, well, I don't stay in Glendale much. Can I follow you guys? And I just remember Rodney going, oh, Lord. And it was all over after that. It was
it got worse for poor Rodney, because when we go to, after the show, we decided to go eat because there was a bunch of places, and we kept getting rejected because I don't even want to mention it, but some idiot didn't have his passport, so we couldn't go in. So we ended up going to like a Japanese place, and everyone knew that guy was kind of like, everyone was noticing it, so they kind of made sure to get a seat between him and Brian, and unfortunately that was Rodney. And I just remember I was sitting next to Rodney's friend Pete at the corner at the end, and I get a text, or me and Pete get texts that say, I am about to unleash my inner nigger on this guy. So not my words, I don't read text. That's what Ryan Rodney said.
There was two of them, and one was kissing one side of Brian's rear end, and the other one was kissing the other side. It was just amazing to watch. It was unbelievable. Okay. WrestleMania 27, Atlanta, GA, Bad Street, I think it was on April 3rd, 2011, at the Georgia Dome. We had, The U.S. champion Sheamus, he no contested Daniel Bryan in 3 minutes, and it turned into a battle royal, which the Great Khali ended up winning.
I know, right? That's a big rib on Sheamus and Daniel.
Boo, I say to this. Boo. We had the world champion Edge. He pinned Alberto Del Rio in 11 minutes and 8 seconds.
It was
okay. His last match.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Next up, and I'll never forget this all of my life, Cody Rhodes upset Rey Mysterio Jr. in 11 minutes and 57 seconds.
Dude, you'll never forget this. I was sitting next to goddamn Sinbad. I thought he was going to blow fucking cum all over me or something, dude.
Oh, gosh. Take it down the dark road. Sinbad lost his mind. He stood up and clapped. I'm sure I saw him wipe away a tear. He was so happy when Cody Rhodes won. Brian got out his phone and was taking pictures of Sinbad. He was the happiest man in that arena. It was amazing.
It was kind of pathetic, but okay.
The Big Show, Kane, Kofi Kingston, and Santino beat Wade Barrett, Ezekiel Jackson, there's a name I haven't heard for a while, Heath Slater, and Justin Gabriel, Show Penn Slater.
I don't even remember this, and I was there.
Yeah, I know. I was too. Next up, we had Randy Orton pinning CM Punk in 1445.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fine. And then, once again, time stood still. Jerry Lawler beat Michael Cole via submission in 1345. Steve Austin was the referee. The mystery GM was declared Michael Cole. The mystery GM declared Michael Cole the winner due to blatant interference by the referee.
Didn't like Michael Cole get the heat on Jerry for like 10 minutes or something?
Seemed
like the Bret and Vince match. Just about.
Yeah.
Again, yeah,
and
it started off awesome.
Cole had an awesome like outfit, and it should have just lasted 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and then it would have been fantastic. But unfortunately,
Cole got out of the booth for the rest of the show.
Yeah,
or at least for the next few matches.
Whoever his tattoo artist is needs to be shot immediately, along with his trainer. That's how it looks like. Match of the night, The Undertaker beat Triple H in 29-22 in a no-holds-barred match. This was pretty amazing.
This probably has the greatest false finish ever.
Yeah. And by the way, two of the greatest entrances you'll ever see in your lifetime. Undertaker coming out to Johnny Cash's, was it Hurt that he came out to?
No, it was Laid His Body Down or something.
Yeah, Ain't No Grave. And Triple H coming out to For Whom the Bells Toll. And you won't see that on your DVDs or Blu-rays, but awesome.
Didn't he have like some troll thing on the stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had like a big, like Castle Grayskull was set up on the stage as far as I could see. And
wasn't there like a Tron motorcycle too? Or maybe later on? I
don't know. I can't remember that part. Anyway, yeah, this match was really awesome. Really, really awesome. John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and one Snooki, yes, Snooki from the Jersey Shore. They beat Dolph Ziggler, Layla, and Michelle Cool. Snooki pinned Michelle Cool.
He made the greatest WrestleMania debut in history of WrestleMania.
He was pretty awesome here, I thought.
She did. She did a back handspring elbow that looked like...
She did a double back handspring elbow.
Whatever.
She blew the great mood away.
Anyway, yeah, it was pretty good.
This is when John Morrison got all pissy and got all pissed off because Trish was in the match.
Yeah. See where he's at.
What happens when you just not her fault that your girlfriend's a crazy bitch.
Right.
Truth.
Well, it is his fault his girlfriend's a crazy bitch because he put up with her, especially after she cheated on him with Batista.
That's right. And at the main event, this was no good. The WWE champion, The Miz, he pinned John Cena in the main event. Yes, The Miz.
Well,
Mike Mizanin.
Well, before the match, they had two of the best promo videos ever.
Yeah, that was the best part of this match, of these videos.
Yeah.
This is a Miz video.
Yeah, this was no good. The Rock was a major part of the match, this reporter says. And ended up...
And then it didn't count out at first, double count out, and then Brock came back and restarted the match, and then gave Cena the rock bottom, and Miz won.
Miz completely out of it after taking a dump over, or excuse me, that sounded wrong. He ended up taking a spill over the dashboards and smashing his head on the concrete floor behind, pretty much out of it most of the match. And,
he got a concussion.
Yeah, it was no good.
Yeah. Rock was over fucking that building. I just remember that.
Ridiculous. And then last year, yes, just last year, April 1st, 2012, Miami, Florida, WrestleMania 28, Sun Life Stadium, drawing 65,000. One of the nicest weekends I've had in many a year in Miami, Florida. We had the WWE Tag Champs, Primo and Epico. They beat Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. And Jimmy and Jey Uso.
So it was a pretty good little match.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with this. This was a very good opener. Tyson Kidd looked real good in this match. And, by the way, doing very well in his therapy on his knee. Next, travesty of justice if I've ever seen it.
Biggest rib ever pulled in pro wrestling.
This was pulled on the Empire. I think Vince McMahon knew the Empire was going to be in attendance and pulled a rib on every one of us when Sheamus pinned Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds to win the world title. I looked at Vince Fairhigh, who was sitting next to me. Vince looked at me. I had a disgusted look on my face, and Vinny said, "I didn't book this. Leave me alone." I didn't have any idea who to take it out on. So,
All I could do was just laugh, dude. I just laughed at it.
I laughed at it after the fact because there were so many hardcore fans that were so upset about it.
I laughed because, like, once he kissed her, I knew what was going to happen. and it did. And I'm the biggest Bryan Danielson fan in the whole world, but I just laughed. I mean, it was just like, Vince, you motherfucker.
Well, I think they did it more to do something different than just, like, to fuck with somebody. Like,
Bullshit. That was a fuck you to the internet fans if there ever was.
Well,
one,
I think
dude.
You're taking what people think of the internet fans a little bit too seriously here.
No.
I think they're just doing it to do something different.
Yeah.
So. Not that I care, because internet fans, quite frankly, should be fucked with, like, all the time.
Absolutely.
So, I know I got text with some fucking asshole shortly after this match.
Yeah, I was very sad after that match.
Vince is a big fan of the Daniel Bryan character, so, you know,
yeah.
I don't think he's going to do it to be a dick.
We then had Kane pinning Randy Orton 10 minutes, 55 seconds. This was not very good, to be honest with you.
Yeah, this was a step down for Orton at WrestleMania, I thought.
Definitely. Speaking of stepping down, the Big Show pinned Cody Rhodes to win the WWE IC title. No Sinbad here this year, but
I know I would have liked to sit next to Sinbad during that match.
Kelly and Mario Menounos, that's good enough. Beat Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres in 6:47 when Menounos pinned Phoenix. This was the infamous shot of. I think it was Kelly looked like she had soiled herself, but in fact,
it was Maria.
Oh,
yeah, it was Maria, but it was makeup because she gave someone the Fiend face.
Yeah, I think it was Beth Fiend.
She did a pretty good job considering she was kind of fucked up going into it because she was all hurt from dancing with the song.
She had like bruised ribs or something, didn't she?
Bruised ribs. I think she had a bad ankle. I mean, she was hurting, dude. It's amazing. I think she went a long way on that Dancing with the Stars, but she was like hurting. She had to do all that stuff in high heels and shit.
Mm-hmm.
She's had something. I mean, if she wasn't so famous, I think she could be a really good diva full time. But you know, she's got too much shit going on. But I mean, she's beautiful, and I thought she had for little she's been done. I mean, she looked pretty good.
She's abducting Bob Backlund this year.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with Maria. We then had The Undertaker. He pinned Triple H 30 minutes, 50 seconds in a Hell in a Cell match. Shawn Michaels was a special guest referee. The storytelling in this just was off the charts. It was so good. And I didn't really realize how good it was till I actually saw it on Blu-ray, because it just did not translate in the building. But this was a heck of a match.
The entrance was great when he finally revealed the bald head.
These were like shitty matches or something? So like a shitty match? I don't understand that. You just don't like the people in the match.
Yeah, it was good.
It wasn't much wrestling. It was more of a spectacle. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. It was storytelling. It was, you know,
it was storytelling
whatever you
want.
Yeah.
Sorry they didn't do enough blippies for people, but, you know.
Yeah. It was absolutely, this was the best match on the show. Yeah. Speaking of storytelling, there was a culmination of this. David Otunga, Mark Henry, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, The Miz, and Drew McIntyre. Team Laurinaitis beat Santino Marella, R-Truth, Kofi Kingston, Zack Ryder, Great Khali, and Booker T. This was Team Teddy Long. This was so ridiculous. 10 minutes, 35 seconds, Miz pinned Ryder.
This was
against Team John Laurinaitis.
They had the flags with the face on it and everything. It was awesome. They each had a Bella. It was great.
He actually returned on SmackDown tonight with The Rock in a segment.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like his character. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. He got over by being him. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, he just... whatever. Anyway, this is the match that I enjoyed the most live in the building.
I wouldn't get
WWE. The WWE champion CM Punk beat Chris Jericho 22 minutes and 19 seconds. The match, via submission, the match could not change hands on a DQ. Really good match. I enjoyed this a lot.
I think the best part of this match was in the intro, because when he came out with the Tron jacket, he actually had a little color in it besides the blue.
I also remember,
I mentioned about going to get food. I will say this about this stadium, is these bastards kept running out of fucking food. It was like a hot dog like thing, like right before our section was when he walked out. I got in line there, waited forever, they ran out of hot dogs. Came back, got in line again, waited forever, they ran out of hot dogs.
That's right.
Other places were running out of everything. I went to this one place where I'm in line for a while to get chicken fingers and fries, and then I hear, right when I get to the counter, I hear, oh, no, and then I'm like, oh, shit, and they're like, we don't have any fries. You want extra chicken fingers instead? I was like, oh, hell yeah. So I at least got a whole shitload of chicken fingers, but, yeah, the food in that stadium situation sucks.
And it's been like this in the past as well. I don't know what it is with wrestling fans, but the souvenir stands and the food stands and the beer stands, it looks like a horde of locusts went through and just devoured and bought everything. And there's There's one spinner belt laying behind with the WWE logo spinning, and then one locust comes back and grabs that. It's unbelievable how much merch these guys sell. It's unbelievable the amount of beer consumed and the fatties eating chicken fingers and French fries and whatever. It's unbelievable. So if your town's a hurting, get WrestleMania to come to town.
I'm the type of person, I just, when I got to my seat, I'm staying there till the end of the night.
That's the way I feel too. If I need a soda, some guy looking for a, you know, some guy will bring me one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or let's say I got to go to the bathroom or something real bad.
I do remember that in, where the fuck was it? Was it, I guess it was Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, maybe it was Phoenix. No, it was Phoenix. Is that, it was, you know, me, Rodney, and Pete, and then we're sitting, basically, with a big-ass, very Mexican family sitting next to us, and this one little short, fat kid kept fucking going back and forth at least two or three times every fucking match, man. I was getting ready to fucking trip this little punk ass. I mean, he was getting on my nerves. Like, sit your ass down. Where the fuck are you going? What the hell you gotta do?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Anyway, getting back to WrestleMania. In the main event, The Rock pinned John Cena 30 minutes and 33 seconds once in a lifetime until next year.
Until next week.
Good match. Next week. Good match, and looking forward to it. It's been a year in the making. By the way, the special guests for this show were Sean Puffy Combs, Machine Gun Kelly, who was absolutely horrendous, and Flo Rida.
Oh, how do you disagree?
Is that right?
I thought it was awesome.
Okay. I did not enjoy the vocal performance this one evening, but
well, you had to
again.
You guys are going to have to talk one at a time.
I said, aren't we going to get a repeat of Sean Combs again this year?
Yes, yep. Sean Puffy Combs, whatever you want to call him, Puff Daddy, is going to be at this year's WrestleMania. Just found out last week.
He was in the Pearl Jam, so clearly you have no taste in music. So
I know.
What you say doesn't matter.
That's right. It doesn't matter.
I thought Flo Rida was one of the stupidest things they've ever seen. Look at that fucking name. Flo Rida.
At least he had the Tron cycles out there. Anyway, this was silly. All right. That wraps up In Your Face, Brian Alvarez. We have finished every WrestleMania, top to bottom. It only took three or four or five. We got her done. That is it. End of story.
Well, I can have a lot of complaints about your little buddy Brian Alvarez.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I read your thing on the board.
Yeah, well, Brian's a fucking asshole, dude. Okay, plain and simple, dude. And I'm
he was fucking with you.
Yeah. What? No. He was not fucking with me because Brian is the most little whiny little bitch, especially when you try to ask him to do something. You can't ask Brian Alvarez to do anything because he can't take it as you asking him to do something. It's you telling him to do something.
Man,
you can't tell Brian Alvarez to do something because he's a little whiny little bitch sometimes. And I'm sure Craig will totally agree with everything I just said right there.
Well, I wouldn't do it publicly, that's for sure.
Oh, you said worse on the show, but yeah.
But he's a little whoever.
Just because he has this mentality, he's not going to plan anything. Like a week away from going, no idea what shows he's going to, because he didn't bother to even try and buy tickets or get tickets when they went on sale. But now, he has no idea, and he thinks everyone's like that. Well, you know what? People are coming from all over the fucking world, all over the country. They want to meet you. They want to hang out with the other people from the members. And, you know, the guy who owns the website doesn't do anything to help organize, promote, or do anything. He leaves it up to us who, some of us are putting our own money at stake here for this stuff. And, you know, me and Bob G would like to at least break even, so we'd appreciate it. He would plug the bus trip a little more. But the thing is, he says I keep sending it to him. I sent it to him last Friday. He didn't do the update, so it's not like it got put there. I asked him to do it on one of the Brian and Vinny shows. They didn't say a word. He's only promoted it like a couple times. And then at that, he just puts my Facebook link. You know, not everybody has freaking Facebook. You know, not everyone can go to it. It's like all you have to do is fucking copy and paste, like Couture did with this whole WrestleMania goddamn thing, and take 2 seconds, and he can't do that. All he does is put the link. It's like, you know, every time that, like, I got Dave to fucking copy and paste it, and you know what? I got a shitload of responses and people inquiring, so it actually works. But no, Ryan thinks he does it once, and that's all he's got to do. The motherfucker couldn't even find the Facebook page, and he wants people who aren't even on Facebook to find it? You know what I mean? Just all you got to do is just copy and paste for 2 seconds on an update or read 4 short little paragraphs. All this shit is about you. For people who are coming to meet you, you know, you can at least fucking advertise. You always talk about, oh, I'm going to do a better job. But no, you can't do it because you can't be told what to do when someone's saying please and, could you, and shit like that. And it's just frustrating as hell. It makes me not even want to fucking plan or promote anything anymore. It's just like, God damn, dude, all I'm asking is fucking for, I'm doing all this shit, and all I'm asking is for a little fucking help. All you got to do is talk about it for 2 fucking minutes. All you got to do is copy and paste something for fucking 1 second, and it's asking too much of you. It's asking too much of you for someone who's doing all this shit for you, your website, your fucking members. I don't get paid from the website. I don't even get a free fucking membership anymore, all right? So fucking, you know, don't be such a fucking dick, dude. I mean, goddamn, dude. He makes you want to punch him in the fucking face sometimes.
Calm down. Take a breath. Do your serenity now and everything like that, you know.
I have to hit my bong right here.
So I think see, I told whoever was on the board, I told you get a promo cut in about 8 hours, didn't I? See, I was right.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let everyone down.
I don't even know what that was all about.
Well, so I'd like to throw out my plugs real quick.
Now.
Well, hold on. Let me draw. How much time do we even have here? Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download the Streamer Show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows at angrymarks.com. And you can also hear our shows at blogtalkradio.com/Couture and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. You can check out the infamous Facebook page at F4W Wrestling Observer WrestleMania. And that'll have all the info of what we're going and doing and where you can go meet that little shithead Brian Alvarez and a whole lot of other people from the Empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really want to meet him now.
Yeah. Real quickly, you can follow me at Proper Jam on Twitter and check out TeamViggity.com, TeamViggity.com for all your weight loss needs.
He might be good at that, but he's an asshole because he's sending me sicker Flair jokes by a text while we're trying to do the show, trying to set that rough. So it's like...
Anyway, well, he's my trainer. Actually, I have a trainer, and he's got me down some poundage, so thank you to Mr. Machine, Peach Machine. Anyway, that's about it from here. Plug your YouTube page there, Couture.
Everybody go to YouTube, / Couture, YouTube.com/ Couture. There's a bunch of neat shit up there.
Hopefully we'll get some ad commercials added to that.
I might actually do that, so people can check back there. So.
Cool. Well,
everybody go to the movie theater and see Oz the Great and Powerful. It's 5 fucking stars.
Okay.
That's I bought
my birthday present last week. My birthday is the day after WrestleMania, April 8th. And 3 of the whitest guys that you know, Craig Proper, Vincent Verhey and Justin Payne, you'll know him as Junior Horseman, are all going to see Prince.
Prince who?
Prince.
The artist?
The artist.
When did he stop, using the symbol and go back to Prince?
I don't know. But I'm very excited.
That's just being fucking difficult. Change your name to a symbol. That's just being a dick.
So we're going to see the symbol. I mean, Prince. And it's in a little tiny club in Seattle. It holds maybe 1,100 to 1,200 people. And I'm going to see this man in concert in about 3 weeks. And I'm very excited.
You know, it could be either awesome or it could suck. It all depends on what he decides to play.
That's true. But I will be with 2 of my besties, so it'll be fun.
As long as he does When Doves Cry, so it's okay.
No, he's got to do Purple Rain. I don't care about that. If he doesn't do Purple Rain, I'm going to cry. Anyway. So anyway,
well,
10 birthday
I'll
wishes.
I'll do you and say that my birthday is in 3 days, so there.
There you go. There you go. Is your
I
birthday
know
April
how old
1st?
I'm gonna be.
Is your birthday April
what?
1st?
Yes.
Wow. Jokes.
I've heard out. All the jokes, so don't even bother.
I missed it because I was hearing that 10-second thing in my ear. What's the joke?
Katrina's birthday is on April 1st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha.
But nobody figures this out now. You've been sending me birthday messages for 3 fucking years or something like that. Who knows what
I guess I don't get the Facebook notification. Sorry.
Well, I do because they all wake me up.
See, I'm trying
I don't
to
even know how old
right?
I am. You ever notice you get to the age where you got to, like, add up how old you are and you can't remember?
No,
that's
I remember.
That's how you know you're old.
No, I don't have that problem because I can actually have
Yes, you do. You can't even do Roman numerals. Don't give me that shit.
There's a difference, dude. Maybe if I wrote my name in Roman numerals, I'd forget, but, you know. But anyway, no, I don't know
what
your name
in Roman numerals
that doing
be
anything
a,
at all
like
because I will be in New York, New Jersey at the time.
Hey, Trey, right. You want to do a show next week?
You want to do like an hour preview? Like maybe?
Yeah, what the heck?
Just let me know what day you want to do it on. I can do any day, so.
Just okay. Yes,
we can preview the show and do the, you know, preview Hall of Fame and stuff like that. So.
You betcha. Yeah, Katara and Craig will do a preview of WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame next week.
Probably the worst show in the history of our show.
Oh,
I'm
going to
name it
me?
Deep South. I know it, Craig wants to use that name.
That's right. Deep South.
Oh, well. But I will see if I can record stuff on my phone or voice recorder or something. Maybe I can get a little audio. And hopefully I'll be...
Can we get...
Say what?
Can we get Brian's rebuttal to your rant? That would be awesome.
I'll see what I can
do. We don't need to continue this.
But hopefully I can get in a couple words with guys like Corey Bauer or Dave Prezak or Trina Michaels or a few other people. And I did find out today Oliver Kopp has scored a stretch limo, and we will be riding in style to the Hall of Fame in Madison Square Garden, so that should be awesome. But,
excellent.
Anyway,
I'm
going
to
like to say,
Dan.
Oh, go ahead.
I hope you're in a better mood at that time.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't think Brian Harris is going to the Hall of Fame, so I should be fine.
I don't know what he's doing because I'm not there with babysitting this year. Somebody babysit Brian Alvarez. I'm not there this year. Bing won't do it. Trust me.
I told Doc G that he's in charge of keeping me from punching him in the face. So hopefully he'll be all right. Hopefully not.
All right.
But anyway, we'll go ahead. We'll have something next week, and we'll have, and for sure, 2 weeks we will have plenty of Ed's review of WrestleMania and everything that happened. And everyone, just listen to so when we'll post when we're doing shit. So just pay attention, and we'll talk to everyone later.
You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mansion shit! Let's go hook him up! Tonight.